This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at dell.com/radio.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Is Trump on the ropes? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Friday, August 12. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Dozens of Republicans are urging their national committee to stop funding Donald Trump's run for the White House. Plus, there's a report of an emergency campaign meeting today.
Hillary Clinton uses a speech in Warren, Michigan to outline her economic proposals, which includes her flip-flop on trade.
In Rio, American swimmer Michael Phelps won his 22nd gold and could get another today. Plus, gymnast Simone Biles delivered in the all-around.
And how the Drug Enforcement Agency examines our travel records in search of cash.
If you take $36,000 off of somebody, it's not always clear that that person has committed a crime. You know, maybe it's a money laundering conspiracy, but it's not the sort of thing a federal prosecutor is going to take on at a time when the Justice Department is downplaying minor drug arrest.
Brad Heath at USA Today on the cash seized by the DEA from travelers. He's here in about 25 minutes. Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton has delivered an economic speech designed to boost her appeal. She's again trying to strike the balance between slamming opponent Donald Trump while seemingly admitting the economy has struggled under the Obama administration.
I don't think Mr. Trump understands any of it. He hasn't offered any credible solutions for the very real economic challenges we face.
One of the areas she focused on yesterday during remarks in Warren, Michigan, was trade, specifically the Trans-Pacific Partnership among 12 countries. She previously called it the gold standard, but has since flip-flopped and now opposes it. That was something not lost on Mr. Trump.
She heard me speaking about TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and all of a sudden she went from it's the gold standard to she won't approve it.
Mrs. Clinton has also unveiled a series of proposals on infrastructure, taxes, family-friendly workplace policies, and college education. To that, Mr. Trump responded that if Mrs. Clinton wins the election, enjoy your tax increase, folks. Well, Mr. Trump is promising to stick with his unconventional campaigning style despite calls from party leaders for a more focused and policy-based run. He was asked on CNBC yesterday about what he'd think if his strategy leaves him short come election day.
All I do is tell the truth, and if at the end of 90 days I fall in short because I'm somewhat politically correct, even though I'm supposed to be the smart one and even though I'm supposed to have a lot of good ideas, it's okay. You know, I go back to a very good way of life.
Meanwhile, more than 70 Republicans, a good number of them former staffers of the Republican National Committee, have signed an open letter to RNC Chairman Reince Priebus. They want him to refocus the group's funding, meaning spend it on House and Senate races rather than the presidential campaign of Mr. Trump. Also, Politico is reporting that Trump campaign officials are holding an emergency meeting today with the Republican National Committee regarding his struggling campaign. Good news and bad news regarding the Zika virus outbreak in Miami. The bad news, the Florida Health Department says 3 additional people have been reported to have contracted it, bringing the total number of those infected to 25. This outbreak is the first in which Zika virus infections have been linked to infected mosquitoes in the continental U.S. The good news, Florida Governor Rick Scott announced that mosquito control activities have reduced the size of the area where Zika transmission is ongoing. Meanwhile, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, is lobbying for more federal money.
We're not dealing with a phenomenon that's unheard of. Emerging infectious diseases have always been around. They're around now, and we will continue to see them. And it's up to us to be able to be prepared to move as quickly as we possibly can to address it in an appropriate manner.
Four square blocks in the Wynwood neighborhood in Miami have been cleared, and therefore the size of the area where Zika transmission is believed to be taking place has been reduced. Separately, out west, the Wyoming Department of Health has confirmed its first case of travel-related Zika virus. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy, and that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Glad you're with us, and a good Friday to you. Earlier, we told you about the letter that began circulating this week among Republicans, mainly former staffers with the Republican National Committee, who want funding to now be concentrated on House and Senate races and not the campaign of presidential nominee Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Gabby Morangelo at the Washington Examiner says members of the party, especially vulnerable congressional candidates, are wrestling with whether to distance themselves from Mr. Trump or dump him altogether. Gabby, what kind of precedents do we have for this?
If you recall, in October of 1996, a number of Republican leaders basically conceded that Bob Dole wasn't in a place where he was going to defeat Bill Clinton, and they didn't want to lose the congressional majority that they had earned in 1994. So they began running these advertisements encouraging voters to focus on down-ballot races and vote Republican so that they could maintain a check on Bill Clinton in Congress. And considering the direction that Donald Trump's campaign is headed in at the moment and the poll numbers that we're seeing, it's likely that Republicans could, you know, become closer to adopting a similar strategy this election cycle.
Wow. All right. So as you say in the story, the GOP is approaching self-preservation mode. How would that message, I guess, ever get out, or who might that come from?
Well, it's on party leaders to determine whether or not they want to, you know, kick into survival mode. There was a report out this morning by Time in which Reince Priebus reportedly called Donald Trump last week and told him, look, you know, you need to get your campaign back on track. You need to stop making these comments that are creating controversies and turmoil within your campaign and among Republicans. And if you can't do that, then we're going to make a significant shift and channel most, if not all, of our resources towards congressional races in order to at least preserve the Republican majority in Congress in case Clinton does win the presidency.
Wow. All right. So that worked in 96, I guess, right?
It did. Well, it was a bit subdued. I mean, they came out, the National Republican Congressional Committee was the one behind those ads that essentially told voters, you know, don't give Clinton a blank check in Congress. And a lot of people took that as, well, Republicans are conceding that Dole is headed for a loss. So one strategist I spoke with who said if something similar plays out this cycle, it would have to be more couched. I mean, they would have to say without blatantly saying Trump isn't going to win this election cycle, and we can't risk Hillary Clinton not only winning the presidency but putting Democrats back in control in Congress. So they'd have to make their message, tailor their message a bit differently so as not to, you know, completely shun the man who's at the top of their presidential ticket.
Mm. We're speaking with Gabby Morangelo, political reporter at the Washington Examiner. Her piece is called "Will Republicans Abandon Trump and Focus on Congress?" When would something like that happen in this particular race, Gabby?
Well, look, we're 3 months out from Election Day right now. We're starting to see Donald Trump's poll numbers not only decline nationally, but in a number of battleground states that he would absolutely need to win in order to get to the White House. And we're also starting to see some Republicans in heated Senate contests lose their traction. I mean, in a poll last week in New Hampshire showed Kelly Ayotte, who probably is in one of the most contested Senate races in the country, down 10 points. And so, you know, if we continue to see things like that occur, if we continue to see Trump's poll numbers decline and not ebb and flow or potentially recover, then I think that there will be some swift movements in the Republican Party and among Republican leaders to change their strategy in this election cycle.
Wow. All right. So what might the Trump campaign reaction be to something like that?
Well, the Trump campaign, I think at this point, is focused on ensuring that it doesn't get to that point. You know, we've heard from Paul Manafort earlier this week saying that Donald Trump is focused on staying on message, that he plans to release further policy details in the coming weeks. He's going to have his wife come out and address some of the controversies surrounding her immigration status. The candidate himself delivered a major speech on his economic agenda earlier this week. So there is a concerted effort to avoid having something like that happen. But if he can't turn it around, if the candidate fails to stay on message and reset his campaign, I think he'll have to accept that that would be the consequence.
Thanks, Gabby. Gabby Morangelo at the Washington Examiner. It's 19 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, in the absence of any funding from Congress, the Obama administration says it will transfer $81 million from existing federal health programs to continue work on developing a Zika vaccine. Anthony Fauci, who heads the National Institutes of Health's response to Zika, says research on Zika cannot be held up by money disputes.
What is happening in Puerto Rico is that 1% of the population is being infected every week, 4% every month. So right now we're in a crisis situation there.
Fauci says the fact that money for research is being transferred rather than allocated by Congress means funding is being taken away from cancer research and other causes. Donald Trump is doubling down on remarks calling President Obama the founder of ISIS and Hillary Clinton the co-founder. He first made the charge at a rally Wednesday in Florida. When asked yesterday if he meant to say the president indirectly created ISIS by creating a power vacuum in Iraq when he pulled troops out, Trump responded,
He was the founder of ISIS, absolutely.
Trump also repeated that he hadn't made a mistake with his comments, saying everyone's liking it. The nation saw its fourth amusement park accident in 5 days when a three-year-old boy apparently fell out of a roller coaster in Pennsylvania. A spokesman for Idlewood and Soak Zone Amusement Park says the boy fell off the ride but didn't provide other details. He was conscious when he was airlifted to a local hospital. The roller coaster does not include seat belts and has a height requirement of 36 inches. 24 people were taken to the hospital after turbulence forced a JetBlue flight to make an unexpected landing. The airline says the plane encountered bad weather while en route from Boston to Sacramento last night and diverted to Rapid City, South Dakota. One passenger tweeted that it felt like a giant hand hit the plane and stuff was flying everywhere. All were treated for minor injuries and released. And pretty soon you may not have to throw out that torn t-shirt or a pair of jeans. Researchers at Penn State have come up with a biodegradable liquid material that can help fabric quickly bind to itself. It's made up of bacteria and yeast and has similar properties to squid tentacles.
Is that right?
You want to wear that?
Possibly. I don't really have a lot of old stuff, but I do have one long sleeve gray t-shirt.
Can't throw it out.
From a 5K that I ran in 1999. I'm afraid to wear it now because it's getting so thin, it's so fragile.
Well, now you can repair it with squid tentacles.
There you go. But it's definitely the most comfortable thing I have. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Stores desperate for our business are engaged in a cutthroat game of discounting this summer, playing an old card in a new way. The final sale. You may have seen it flashing on a retailer's website or on a sign posted in a mall. You might see it if you're running errands this weekend or starting your back-to-school shopping. But Wall Street Journal reporter Elizabeth Holmes says lately some brands are using a different sort of final sale. Elizabeth, set the scene.
So shoppers love a good deal, and never more than these days. People are always looking for a discount, but they also really like to return things. E-commerce has made it so people are really used to buying whatever they want and trying it out at home and then returning a bunch of stuff. So as much as a third of what they order online is returned. So that sort of combination of love a deal but love a return is coming up against the final sale, which used to be a gimmick that retailers had, that they said this is the lowest price it's going to be, and you know, get it now before it's gone, but you can't return it.
But do the shoppers have any leverage here?
Well, you know, a couple I talked to did. You know, I mean, you can plead your case to customer service if you order something that you don't like or that arrives and you don't like it. But that's sort of the deal. They're saying, hey, we're giving you, you know, 70% off this item. We're taking a big hit on the margin here, but you can't return it. And it's one thing to do that when you're shopping in a store and you can see the merchandise, especially in fashion where it's sized and things like that, but it's increasingly happening online too. And so people are seeing things that look great on a model in a picture, mm-hmm. and then it arrives and they're like, hey, wait a minute, this fit is kind off, yeah. or this isn't what I wanted, and then they're stuck with it.
Wow. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal style writer Elizabeth Holmes. Her story is called Beware Signs That Say Final Sale. So is final sale becoming a phrase that's going extinct, or are we not quite there yet? Because it used to generate some excitement, right?
Yeah, everybody. I mean, I think it's happening more than ever. Retailers are trying to push this on shoppers, and what shoppers are saying is like, hey, no. I mean, to be sure, there are a lot of people that see it still as a very good deal, and they snap things up, and you know, they're happy, even if it's not just perfect, they're happy that they got such a good discount on it. But you know, it's a little bit of a dance, and this forever game of chicken between shoppers and retailers, you know, who's going to blink first. It's just adding pressure to the situation, too, because if you're shopping in a store and you see something final sale and you know that you can't return it, this is what I do. I stand there and kind of agonize over it, and that takes some of the fun away from the shopping experience and of spending your money. You know, it makes you really think about it, and that's another thing here, too. I think, you know, adding pressure to what's already a pretty delicate situation is not necessarily the wisest thing to do.
Yeah. Who's known for throwing around that phase final sale a lot?
J.Crew, first and foremost. They have a very hefty, both in-store and online, business of final sale merchandise. And a lot of times people really take to it because it's heavily discounted. But I did talk to somebody who was able to return a dress that they got on final sale from J.Crew.com because it wasn't what they expected.
Wow.
They have a great customer service vehicle there too, but they do a lot of final sale, and increasingly players like Banana Republic or Ann Taylor, they're getting in on it too. A lot of these fashion guys with really seasonal merchandise, so you know, they know that they've got tank tops and they got to clear them out in August kind of thing. Those are the things you'll start seeing on final sale.
Well, I don't want to shop like you, though. You said you agonize over some stuff. Like,
well,
I've
decided that final sale is just a non-starter for me. Like, I just don't engage at this point because I can't. I'm one of those people who's become very accustomed to returns and a lot of time returning things.
Do you really? Oh,
and, no, I mean, I got a dress earlier this year, and it was on sale, bought it, saw it went on sale more, returned it, bought it again, saw it went on sale more, bought it a third time,
Are you kidding me?
But I ended up getting it for, like, 80% off.
Was it worth the effort? That's the question. Wall Street Journal style reporter Elizabeth Holmes. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Mailing your letters and packages has just gotten a lot easier thanks to Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, using just your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office, and it's so easy. Anyone can do it. Just click, print, and mail. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk. Stamps.com does all the work for you. The setup is easy, too. In minutes, you'll be printing your very own postage. You'll never have to go to the post office again. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in DEAL. That's Stamps.com, then enter the code DEAL. Again, visit Stamps.com and enter the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, ThisMorning@CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, Hey, glad you're with us. It is Friday, August 12. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Hillary addresses the economy. Dozens of Republicans want to end spending on the Trump campaign. Record highs for the stock indexes. The DEA is keeping marijuana illegal for any purpose. President Obama vacation update. He's now played 300 rounds of golf while in office, an average of 40 rounds a year. TMZ says suspended actor Thomas Gibson could now be fired from Criminal Minds for kicking a writer. At the Olympics, Phelps wins his 22nd medal, goes for number 23 today. Biles crushes the field for the gymnastics all around. 3 years and $100 million for LeBron, and A-Rod plays his last game for the Yankees today. Federal drug agents regularly mine our travel information to profile people who might be ferrying money for narcotics traffickers, though they almost never use what they learn to build criminal cases. Instead, that targeting has helped the Drug Enforcement Administration seize a small fortune in cash. It's a story from Brad Heath, investigative reporter at USA Today. Brad, what have you found?
We're looking at a network of informants that the DEA has built within the travel industry. So that's airline employees, ticket agents, bag handlers, back office people who are helping them profile travelers with suspicious itineraries, people who might be moving cash on behalf of drug traffickers. And they're using that information to seize quite a lot of cash from people traveling on planes and trains, usually without charging them with anything.
Wow. All right. So a typical scenario could be what? What was one you found?
They kind of run the gamut, but we've seen a lot of suspicion around, for example, one-way tickets to California. Going to California, or sometimes Arizona, is one of the things DEA thinks is pretty suspicious. Having a one-way ticket is kind of suspicious. Having paid with cash is kind of suspicious. And then they mix that with other things like, do you have luggage? They'll run you through, they have their database of people linked to drug organizations, drug arrests, things like that. And they add all those things up and say, we need to talk to this person.
How much cash does the DEA bring in, say, per year doing something like this?
Over the past 10 years, we know of DEA groups assigned to 15 major airports. And over the past 10 years, those groups have brought in a little bit more than $200 million. But that's a bit of an undercount because the Justice Department records we looked at didn't separately track groups that we know are assigned to airports in Phoenix and San Diego that have also been pretty busy.
Well, we're speaking with Brad Heath, investigative reporter at USA Today. His piece is called DEA Regularly Mines Americans' Travel Records to Seize Millions in Cash. So is what they're doing legal? You can take somebody's cash but not actually charge them with anything?
Yeah, that part is absolutely legal. Federal law allows the government, federal agents, to seize money if they have probable cause to believe that it's linked to a crime. And then there's a procedure for challenging it to get the money back if you can prove that you are an innocent owner of the cash. That's been fairly controversial in recent years, and there's some members of Congress who want to reform the system and get it linked back up to actually charging people with crimes. But I talked to a fair number of current and former DEA agents about this, who said, you know, if you take $36,000 off of somebody, it's not always clear that that person has committed a crime. You know, maybe it's a money laundering conspiracy, but it's not the sort of thing a federal prosecutor is going to take on at a time when the Justice Department is downplaying minor drug arrests, because the guys who are taking money on airplanes are usually the very bottom of the organization.
Jeez. So how does the DEA do this? How do you actually mine travel records?
Most of what they do is, you know, DEA has groups that are assigned to work at airports and train stations, and they go cultivate informants. So they'll chat up bag handlers and ticket agents and people who work in the back rooms and say, be on the lookout for people who fit this profile. You know, we want passenger information. We want to know if somebody's got a one-way ticket. And they've got a pretty broad network of people who will supply that to them. And, you know, they do that with Amtrak trains, too. It seems like they have even more systematic access to that stuff. Sometimes they'll pay these people. Sometimes they won't. It's in some ways, it's the old airport, you know, if you see something, say something, right? Except instead of saying it to prevent terrorism, you're saying it to the DEA.
Wow. So they don't have access to a database, for example, that says, oh, this person had a one-way ticket from New York to L.A.?
I think with Amtrak, they have more systematic access. There are a couple court cases I've seen where they say they're doing routine reviews of passenger manifests. The DEA, I guess not surprisingly, doesn't want to talk about the extent to which they are able to look at this information, whether it's their informants who have access to the airline's data or whether the agents do.
How about that? Thanks, Brad. Brad Heath, investigative reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Thanks for being with us. Time now for our weekly look at what we've been searching for the most online during the past few days. We're joined now live by Google Trends expert Evan Barber. Morning, Evan. Michael Phelps really dominating a lot of searches.
Yes, good morning. Thanks so much for having me. Michael Phelps, he's dominating a ton of searches. It's his fifth and final time competing in the Olympic Games. And for a couple reasons, he's been trending. Of course, his viral meme, Phelps Face, took the internet by storm a couple days ago. It was really kind of a funny moment. And then he took gold last night and actually broke history. And not just recent history, but history that goes back thousands of years dealing with the Olympics.
Okay. Yeah, goes for gold number 23 today, by the way. How about the U.S. women's gymnastics team?
So the women's gymnastics team is definitely trending, and actually there's a spike every 4 years for U.S. women's gymnastics, which means that it's correlated usually with the Olympics. Simone Biles is the breakout star right now. She won her first individual gold last night in the Olympic Games, and they also won the team gold, adding to their victories from 2011, 2014, and 2015.
Explain a hashtag Steve the Climber, this guy on Trump Tower, right?
Yeah, Steve the Climber was definitely a moment in New York City earlier this week. He scaled Trump Tower using suction cups. He was safely rescued by police, but not before hashtag Steve the Climber blew up on social media. And actually, searches for Trump Tower reached its highest point.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's funny. We're speaking live this morning with Google Trends expert Evan Barber, talking about what we've been searching for the most online during the past few days. All right, on a sad note, John Saunders from ESPN.
John Saunders, very sad. He passed away at the age of 61. And as you might know, he spent 30 years covering sports, especially collegiate football and basketball were his passions. So it's a very sad loss for ESPN. And we're sad to hear about it.
Yeah, incredibly versatile guy, too. I'm almost afraid to ask, but why is Kendall Jenner trending?
Well, the Kardashians are usually trending for some reason or another. But this week, Kendall Jenner is on the cover of the September issue of Vogue, which is the biggest issue of the year for Vogue. And people came to Google to learn more about the reality star. She dishes about her father's transition and there's also rumors swirling around that she's dating A$AP Rocky, so that was also spiking on Google Trends this week.
That she's dating who?
A$AP Rocky. He is a rapper. Yes, he's a rapper. So this is also trending. There's a couple things in the works with her this week.
I trust her on that one with that rapper. Very good. Excellent. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. It was nice talking to you, Evan. Google Trends expert Evan Barber with us live this morning discussing what we've been searching for the most online during the past few days. By the way, reminder, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. It is 13 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You don't have to be a retail giant or government agency to be the victim of a costly data breach. If you run a website and collect customer data, your small to mid-sized business is just as likely to be targeted by hackers. The Barracuda web application firewall provides cost-effective instant security against automated and targeted attacks, making this WAF a must-have for your SMB. Reclaim your network. Try a Barracuda web app firewall risk-free at barracuda.com/WAF.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, lots of gold glittered for the Americans last night in Rio, flipping and tumbling to the sounds of Latin music. Simone Biles soared to the women's all-around gymnastics title.
And there it is.
A 15.933. Simone Biles, Olympic gold medalist.
Teammate Allie Raisman took silver. In the pool, Michael Phelps won his fourth gold medal of the Games and 22nd overall with a victory in the 200-meter individual medley. Ryan Murphy took gold in the 200 meters. Simone Manuel tied for the gold medal in the women's 100-meter freestyle, becoming the first African-American woman to win an Olympic gold medal in swimming. Donald Trump says he'll stick with his unconventional campaigning style, appearing to shrug off calls by Republicans for a more policy-based run. And he told CNBC if he loses in November, he'll take a vacation.
All I do is tell the truth. And if at the end of 90 days I fall in short because I'm somewhat politically correct, even though I'm supposed to be the smart one and even though I'm supposed to have a lot of good ideas, it's okay. You know, I go back to a very good way of life.
Meanwhile, Trump's campaign team is to meet officials from the Republican National Committee today in what's described as a routine meeting to discuss joint operations in the state of Florida. Trump is not expected to attend the meeting. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi says the hack of top Democratic campaign committees was an electronic Watergate.
But I do know that this is a Watergate-like electronic break-in. And anyone who would exploit for the purpose of embarrassment or something like that is an accomplice to that.
Pelosi made her comments in response to a New York Times story that quoted unnamed sources saying the cyber attack against the Democrats may have been far broader than initially believed, affecting groups beyond the DNC. The deep-fried Twinkie is jumping from the state fair to your home freezer. Hostess Brands today launched packaged deep-fried Twinkies, marking its first foray into frozen foods. The cream-filled snack is the result of a year-long collaboration between Hostess and Walmart, as both companies look to spark food sales with innovative products.
That'd be innovative. So you can freeze these things. Deep-fried Twinkies, frozen.
Deep-fried frozen Twinkies.
I almost picked up Ho-Ho's the other day.
Why?
At the grocery store. Why? This is one of the greatest snack foods ever. It's right up there with Twinkies, no? You don't think so? No. And what's the other one? Ding Dongs? Isn't there Ding Dongs?
Ding Dongs, yeah. Devil Dogs, remember that?
Devil Dogs. Those are too dry, though.
Yeah.
A little too dry.
You need a lot of milk to get those
That's
down.
Right. That's why I prefer the Ho-Ho's. And there was another one with the... And I had the peanut butter inside. I forget what it was. But somehow I managed to resist.
You could just taste the sugar in those things. Just crunch it.
Back in the day, we could metabolize those pretty well. Not anymore. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Thanks for being with us. Practice makes perfect, right? We hear it all the time. There's one problem with this idea, though. New research suggests it's not true. The Washington Post says practice is helpful in improving performance in a variety of fields, but it plays a surprisingly small role in determining whether people become virtuosos. Researchers say a large part is probably due to biology and genetics. Some people's maximum oxygen uptake will increase sharply with training. Other people may have more ability to gain muscle mass or better motor control. Others may benefit from certain psychological traits like confidence or lack of performance anxiety. The Post says analysis also showed that athletes who reached the upper levels did not begin practicing at an earlier age necessarily than lower skill athletes. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.